Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Portishead podcast, the audio accompaniment to Enjoy Portishead magazine, created by Tracy Fowler and Tracy Fry, who between them have clocked up more than 40 years experience working in local media and PR here in Portishead. My name's Ian Downes, I'm a local TV and radio presenter, and I'll be your guide here on the podcast through some of the fascinating content created right here in Portishead. Whilst mainstream local media is now beamed at you from regional hubs across the country, our aim is to bring you the best of Portishead from right here in BS20. Whether it's a chat with some of our talented locals, talking about upcoming local events, or a deep dive into some of our thriving local businesses, you'll find it all on the pages of Enjoy Portishead magazine and right here on the Enjoy Portishead podcast. On episode number 4, Nicola Holland and Jeff Lucas from Artsport talk about the upcoming Portishead Arts Festival. We get an update on the latest happenings in the High Street and reveal some great news about Enjoy Portishead magazine itself. I join the two Tracys for a catch-up on the Sun Terrace at the newly reopened Royal Inn. And the view is absolutely spectacular. So it's a Friday evening. I'm not going to lie to you, there may well be some beverages.
Oh, don't mention alcohol again, please.
It's a sort of running theme of Tracy Fowler and Tracy Fry's life, I feel. Tracy Fry, you look very at home with a glass of wine in your hand.
I feel very at home with a glass of wine in my hand, actually.
Friday evening, we're looking out over the channel. We can see very clearly both the Prince of Wales Bridge, the Severn Bridge there, the Wye Bridge, which everyone forgets, which is also a bridge over there, and of course, the lovely clear blue waters of the Bristol Channel.
How much have you had to drink?
So first of all, we should probably talk about the Royal, and this is, you know, the brand new renovated Royal. It's very, very busy on a Friday night, and we've all had an experience here. I came up for lunch a couple of weeks ago. I brought my lovely friends Mo and Jer up here, and we sat and had lunch, and the food is amazing, and it seems to be doing a roaring success so far.
It does, especially when the weather is nice. And we haven't had much of a summer, have we, really? But it's been a glorious day today, and look how many people are here. And yeah, the food seems to be going down rather well.
And in terms of the reopening, not only is it now a pub, a restaurant, but it's also a hotel as well. Back to its origins as a hotel, which is where it started. It was where people would come and stay before perhaps going off on a voyage. The famous story was that people would stay here before they'd go sailing off on the SS Great Britain, which never actually went to the place it was supposed to go and beached off the shores of Ireland. But Tracy Fry, you've been invited for a stay.
I have, yes. It hasn't happened yet, but I am looking forward to it. It'll be interesting to check out the accommodation here and have a meal. But I believe that there are 10 rooms available, which is astonishing. I didn't realise there were 10 rooms up there. I've only seen two of them, and they both look really lovely.
Yeah, when Jim and Francis were here, I sort of had an unintentional backstage tour, as one evening the doors may have closed and we might have carried on drinking just a little. And it is absolutely huge. Of course, there's the parts that those guys used to live in with their son Mike as well. But there was also other areas that were just, you know, like used as function rooms. And I think what they've done is they've sort of portioned those down. And it does look absolutely incredible. And of course, the extension to the restaurant here. So as you walk past it, you'll see the new building, sort of, which is connected via glass. The reason I have to use glass is they can't make it look like it's part of the original building because it's listed. But the new part of the restaurant has a wooden floor, and you can take your dogs in there, which is an absolute... I mean, I definitely won't be taking my dogs in there. They're a nightmare and would destroy everything. But it's nice to see, isn't it? Because it's a sort of Portishead staple, isn't it, the Royal? So nice to see it thriving again.
It absolutely is. I think we're really lucky that people are still investing in hospitality, really, to be quite honest, with the current economic climate as it is. Yeah, Portishead's very lucky to have an investment like this and such a lovely place.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, the previous owners and Jimmy and Francis did an incredible job all the way through lockdown, trying to keep it open as a service to the community. And then they started doing, you know, the home takeaway. So sad to see them go, but they left it with love, and nice to see it once again throughout. It is my local. It is the even though it's the closest, I was still 15 minutes late for the meeting. So, yeah, damn. But not the only thing, Tracy Fowler, that has reopened.
No, Clarence House has opened in the High Street as well. That's had a bit of a refurb, new ownership, and they've done a really good job as well, and that seems to be thriving. The garden is wonderful. They've made a good job of the inside. It's very welcoming, and I think the message they're trying to get out is that it is a family pub. It's not a club. It's not a members club, and everyone's welcome.
That's news to me. I thought Clarence House was a members club. I thought you had to be a member and you had to pay membership.
That was about 20 years ago.
Really? My favourite members of Clarence House, I've DJed quite a lot of parties there. And once a party at Clarence House gets swinging, it definitely gets... What experience do you have of Clarence House?
I've been to so many 40th and 50th birthday parties there recently. And quite a few people have their wedding receptions there as well, don't they? Yeah, so it really is kind of a hub. If you want to kick your shoes off and have a good time, you can always hit the dance floor at Clarence House.
Because it's big, isn't it? The function room, which I assume is still a function room, is quite big.
It absolutely is, and it's got its own little bar if you want that, but they've got doors that they can open it up into the lounge as well. And yeah, it's got a great dance floor, it's got plenty of room, it's got a separate place for sitting, and actually it's not just for parties. I think the local slimming club uses it several days a week. There are rotary dinners, probus dinners, ladies luncheon club use it. So many different people use it for different things, and the guys that have taken over just want as many different groups to use it as possible, so that's good to know.
Excellent. Well, all the best to Luke and Andy, who are the new proprietors at Clarence House, and we look forward to paying a visit there very soon. Right, now, so many things have happened since the last time we podcasted, if that is a word. I don't know if any of you went to the Portishead Summer Show. I say summer with the loosest of possible terms.
It was lovely on the Saturday. The Saturday was really sunny. I had a great time there, and there were lots and lots of people. But unfortunately, on the Sunday, we had showers most of the day, didn't we? And that did affect it. I mean, the show went on. Portishead's very resilient, and people did go along. But it would have made such a difference, I think, to the footfall if it had been sunny on the Sunday as well.
Yeah. And which day did I choose, Tracy Fry, to be the announcer in the tent, do you think?
Let me guess, was that Sunday?
Yes, it was the Sunday. Oh, wow. And I'd worn the slippiest of summer shoes, and I do agree, though, the resilience. There were still people there. There were still people coming in to have a look. I was fascinated by the North Somerset Beekeepers Association, who had a hive there, and they were telling me all about how bees work. And did you? I had no idea. They make their own... You know, the bits of wax that are in that the bees make. That I thought that was plastic that you put the bees in.
I can't believe you thought that. That's hilarious.
But yeah,
that surprises me, because I thought you were quite a knowledgeable man.
Obviously not. I also bought some Portishead made arts and crafts, and it is the fox made of felt in a top hat made of felt mounted onto a piece of wood, which is sort of like a wall decoration, and it's absolutely fabulous. Now, this means something to me, because I used to work at a radio station called Fox FM, and I'm obsessed with hats. So there we are. But there really are some amazing crafters in Portishead as well, aren't there?
Yeah, I can't deny that. I'm absolutely amazed at how many there are. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if there was a crafter in every household in Portishead.
But at the show, there's just so much to look at, to see. They put on such an amazing display. Not only, you know, all of the exhibits, the flowers, the cakes, the vegetables, but also that sort of, you know, the merchandise tent, and the tent where you can buy stuff is incredible too.
I have to say, I invited my sister and her partner along. They live in Norfolk now, and I don't think they've been to the summer show for at least 30 years, and they could not believe the size of it, the amount of different things that were there. They were absolutely bowled over. They had no idea what they were going to, and they were very impressed.
So hats off to everybody involved in the Portishead show once again. The programme was very a Tomy affair. Who's responsible for that?
I wonder who designs that.
So yeah, well done to everybody involved and to everybody that went along and supported the event. Right, I've got some questions for you for Tracy Fowler. I'm pointing at Tracy Fowler here. Basically because I know that you're, if there's anything to be known in Portishead, Tracy Fowler will know it. Talk to me about Seasons Floris.
Okay, so people keep asking what's happened to Seasons Floris. They appeared to close and then a sign appeared just a few yards along the road from there, and Seasons Floris appeared in a garage. And I thought, what a cool idea, actually. I thought that's a lot less rent to set up in a garage. It looks very nice and very welcoming. And there's a drive and there's somewhere to park. So I thought it was a cracking idea. But just to see what was going on, I popped in and spoke to Mel this week and said, OK, what's going on? You're going to stay in a garage. And she was absolutely disgusted to think that I might think she might like to keep her business in a garage. And actually what's happened is Hughes Carpentry have gone in with their building team and they have revamped the shop, and Mel will be and Ed will be moving back with Seasons Floris. Will be back in its old shop in a couple of weeks' time, mid-September, I think. And a new revamped Seasons Floris will appear in the same premises, but a refurbed premises.
Of course, there was no top story before. It was I don't want to say
a roof. There was a roof.
There was a roof, and now there is accommodation above it. I, like you, thought, oh my god, what a cool idea! And how to save money in the you know, cost of living crisis that they've, you know, sort of slightly downsized, and agreed with you about the parking and so on. But it will be nice to see them back. That was my first ever Portishead Christmas tree came from Seasons Floris when I moved in. I was like, yes. So I have fond memories of that. A little bit further down is the Corner Cafe. I did a loop of Portishead. It's one of I've been told by my fitness instructor that I've got to walk 4 kilometres a day, and I've worked out that a loop from my house on the marina all the way down the high street, down to the bottom, down to Cordelia School, and back up round is about 4K. So notice Seasons Floris, and then notice the Corner Cafe, which appears to have closed as well.
Yeah, it has closed. I think the previous owners have retired, and I understand a couple of purchasers have come along, but things have fallen through. Now, that said, I noticed there was workmen in there this week, so I will be returning to stick my head in and ask what's going on, but I'm afraid I've failed to do so far. So watch out at the next podcast, I might have an update.
Okay, stand by for that.
I don't know how accurate my teenage son's information is, but he seems to think it's going to be a pizza bar.
Oh, this is what I love about living in Portishead. Get it on Facebook, get it on some of the forums. People will be guessing. All of a sudden, it will be a nuclear bunker before but people will be complaining, writing to the council. It'll all be amazing. What else is going on in the high street? Because a few more changes.
Oh, well, I've got a bit of beef, actually. HSBC Bank has closed now. We knew that was coming, and they've moved out. But what I can't believe is that they have left their very central car park locked with chains and padlocks, when actually it's only a year or so ago that it was open to the public. And just think what a good turn that would have been had they left it open so that people could park there. That would have supported other high street traders and made a big difference, I would have thought, to some of the people shopping in the high street. So I'm ashamed of HSBC Bank, and luckily I'm not the kind of person that would go down and use bolt cutters and undo the padlock, but I am very sorry that they didn't see fit to leave that car park open for the public when they left.
Yeah, that's true. When the White Lion originally closed all those years ago, they left that huge car park open, and that was really useful, wasn't it? People used to just nip in and nip out, and you know, it's not sort of hurting anyone, it's not causing any issue, as long as you don't set up your caravan and move in, it's not an issue. That was really helpful. So disappointing to see that sort of favour has not been done either. And M&Co and McColl's, any updates on either of those?
I don't think we have any. No, I did get involved in a little bit of beef on Facebook where people were saying, oh, I hope it's going to be a B&M. And I did point out that that could be detrimental to the independent traders in the high street. Maybe that wouldn't be a great idea. As for McColl's, I was really shocked. I thought that we were expecting, I can't remember what it's called, is it a coffee lab, a new dog-friendly cafe opening. I thought July. And I stuck my head in this week to see what the builders were doing, and it really did look like a building site. So don't hold your breath, guys. I don't think it's going to be opening any day soon.
Okay, there we are. Tracy Fowler, our High Street correspondent. What else has been happening? What else have you been up to? What else has been going on in the life of Tracy Fry and Portishead?
Well, it's been the school holidays, so I've had a house full of teenagers, which has been quite nice. Sadly, they'll be going back to school next week, which kind of is a relief in one way. But on the other hand, it's been nice having a house full of young guys that are just really good fun. I've also taken on some extra work. I've started designing the Cider Ed, as they say, programme for Bristol City. And of course, the football season is in full flow at the moment, so I've been quite busy doing that. So I've just locked myself in my office, really. I haven't really seen much of the sun, but then has anybody?
No, that's yes. Although apparently now, as we're recording this, the kids go back to school next week, and apparently it's going to be 25 degrees every day. So well done, everybody there. However, in this issue of Enjoy Portishead magazine, there is something educationally related.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have a regular feature with Trina Gazzard, and this month she's teamed up with an English teacher, and they are giving us a guide on how to survive Year 11, which I'm sure all parents and children would be very interested to read.
Yeah, for me it was hide behind the bike sheds as much as possible and sell cigarettes that I stole off my mum and dad. That's not the advice I would give you. Do check out Enjoy Portishead magazine for the latest advice from Trina and Jason. What else is in the magazine? A new one out now?
Oh, well, I really enjoyed interviewing John Miles, who is agent to many stars over the years, who lives at Clapton. John was very open and very willing to talk about his career, which is really interesting. We've got quite a lot in here, actually. We've got lots of things from different fundraisers and charity events through to an interview with a well-known artist in Portishead who is part of the arts festival that is on at the end of September.
Going back to John Miles, John is also he was also a friend of mine. So here's the story. Noel Edmonds rang the radio station and said he wanted to be on the show. So reception rang through to me and said, I've got Noel Edmonds here. And I went, no, you haven't. It's some prankster. Go away. Anyway, it happened again. I said, please, can you stop this idiot from calling? Next thing I knew, John Miles, who I did know through various charity bits and pieces, rang me up and said, why are you not taking Noel's calls? I'm like, oh, God, right. So that's how I hooked up with Noel, and that's how Noel and I became friends, and that's we got him on the show, and so on and so forth. So after all this, I did a load of stuff for John Miles' charity. He was trying to raise money for one of the hospitals, and he invited me up to Clapton to his house for tea. He knew I liked cream tea, so I arrived. There it was by the indoor swimming pool, and the temperatures kept rising and rising and rising, and I was sweating so much that I never ever finished the cream tea, but was too embarrassed to say. So John, if you're listening, that was why. So I believe you've also got a new member of staff writing for the magazine from this month. Who's joined the ranks?
Trace, can you think who this might be? Oh, that chap. Is it you, Downsy?
Well, yes, I'm... one of my favourite things is breakfast. Like, I'm kind of, like, in my family and, you know, sort of famous for breakfast. If I'm going to cook a meal, breakfast is the one. My eggs are... pas de excellent, according to me, anyway. So I thought I'd write about breakfast places in Portishead. And actually, there is a plethora... of places. Can I get some points for use of the word plethora?
You can get a gold star for that one.
Thank you. Although Fowler would probably edit it out.
I say plethora.
Oh.
I hate plethora. Oh. I think it sounds really straight, like et cetera, you know.
See, I'm being schooled, even on a Friday night in the pub.
No, I'm not correct. I'm just saying what I liked.
Fair enough. So there's a special on breakfast in Portishead, so you can go and have a little look at what else has been going on. Anything else to mention?
Well, we don't want to give too much away, do we? But we talked to a few experts in their fields. We did have an incident where... Tracy here asked me, she had a bad back, and I suggested she saw an osteopath. And she said, what's an osteopath? And I said, oh, someone who fixes backs, isn't it? And so Tracy went to an osteopath. She went to Walnut Grove and saw Catherine, and then came back and said, oh, I can tell you what an osteopath is now. It's an angel. And I said, I don't think either of us are right in this, not medically anyway, in our explanation. And so we asked Catherine to explain exactly what osteopath is. And that's what she's done in this month's issue.
Excellent stuff. There's also a bit on the Portishead Arts Trail. So if you've if you get to see the front cover of Enjoy Portishead magazine, you'll see, is it called Two Faces, that one? I can't remember what it's the big red one that's
It's called Two Faces. I can't tell you what it is right now, but I don't think it is
called Two. Oh, well, I think it is called Two Face. I think it's called Two Face.
Or is it North and South or something?
I think it's a bit of both, actually. I think it's called Two Face, and I think the explanation is looking in both directions, but Tracy's gonna Google it for me.
Yeah.
But it causes a great discussion, isn't it? Because people walk past these things in Portishead and go, what is that? Why is it there? Like the, as my nephew calls them, the rusty old ladies in Jubilee Park. And actually, until you sort of delve into it a little bit, you don't realise the significance of what they actually are. And I guess, to a certain extent, that's what art's about.
Absolutely. I've obviously lived in Portishead forever, and I had no idea. I've quite often walked past the school and admired the fencing around, is it Portishead Primary there? And then looking into this, I discovered that actually the fencing around the school is part of the art trail. And if you look at it, it does have the formation of waves. But also, some of the car parks have got, you know, the meshwork and the little rats and things like that. It's all part of the art trail. There are something like 28 pieces of art on the art trail. And I don't think the Portishead people know that you know, there's so much there. It's and I keep promising myself to do one of these trails. And maybe I will. Maybe I'll do it at the art festival this year, if they're doing the trail this year.
I have to say, Tracy Fowler won. Tracy Fry Ian Downs nil. It's called Ship to Shore. Which makes sense because it's looking in both directions. Right, we're talking about art. We're talking about the wonderful creativity that Portishead has to offer. Why don't we catch up now with Nicola Holland and Jeff Lucas from the Portishead Arts Festival, who have been chatting to Tracy Fowler.
The Portishead Arts Festival is now in its third year, and each and every year that we've put the festival on, we've tried to improve the festival and make it bigger and better. In year one, we had 25 visual artists and makers. In year two, we expanded that to 40. And now this year, we've got up to 50 visual artists and makers. And running continuously with our art fair, we have pretty much 2 days of wall-to-wall music. And alongside all of that, we've got a varied programme of walks, talks and other events and workshops.
And where do the arts fairs take place, Jeff?
The arts fairs are primarily in what we call the Beacon Hub, which is the Methodist Church, Wesley Hall, and Somerset Hall, and also the Folk Hall. So three main locations for our visual art.
And the Folk Hall is being used by a local sculptor called Hamish Young, who has done an amazing piece called Field. Basically, there will be 27,000 small shells. The idea is that everybody in town will be able to take away one of the shells as part of their own. So as they take them away, the piece will change.
But importantly, the shells are plaster casts of shells that have all been made by Hamish himself and some of his family,
yes,
I believe. And he's made...
taken him a while.
He's made 27,000 of these plaster casts of seashells.
I'm really looking forward to being part of the team that actually lays them out on the floor. I know it sounds like an odd thing to be looking forward to, but being a part of it in that way is it's going to be quite an honour.
And I think it's going to be visually quite a sight. 27,000 plaster casts of shells is pretty much one shell for the entire population of Portishead, one for everybody. And that's the important thing, is that you can, everyone is going to be allowed to take away a little bit of the art, and everyone can take away one of the shells and take them home and create your own little bit of art from it or around it. And the interesting thing is going to be to see what people do with their shells when they've taken one away. And we're going to be very interested to see how that works out. And so the artwork itself is going to change as people take these shells away. Its shape will change, and it's going to be interesting to see whether people take them away to make little trails inside the artwork or whether they pick them up randomly.
And how are we going to find out where these, what happens to these shells?
On the Artport website, there is a link that people can, so people can share what they're doing with their shells afterwards.
Excellent.
That's part of what Hamish is intending. He wants the artwork to be ever-changing, ever-evolving.
And connecting Portishead to the wider world, presumably.
Yeah. He's done an amazing thing here.
Hamish is he's a member of the prestigious Royal West of England Academy of Art. And also, he's recently had one of his artworks in a show at the Royal Academy in London. And we are really very proud to have Hamish's work as a major feature of this year's festival.
It's an amazing amount of talent that's in Portishead. Hamish is one of the top sculptors in the area, but he's not the only one. We have so many creatives in our town. It's quite incredible. I describe them as having come out of the woodwork since we first talked about this idea back in 2018. Jeff has so many contacts to so many artists through his previous work with Portishead Arts. And the people that have come forward to us saying, well, I can do this and I can do that, it's amazing. Portishead is just massively full of such creative talent. It's wonderful, it really is. It just shows that what's possible when people just sort of talk to each other.
Basically, you're taking this weekend to showcase all the talent we have a lot of the artistic
and
talent
I think
we have.
We need to say that the festival wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the support that we get from lots of people freely contributing their time and their skills and their talent and their performances to the festival free of charge.
I mean, as a community, Portishead is just amazing. It really is. It's so many people in this town are ready to step forward and say, yes, I can help. It's brilliant. And the businesses that are helping, I mean, we've got Muse and Port sponsoring us.
They are our financial sponsors.
So much of this we wouldn't be able to do without their help. But then we've got companies like Nortec or an Aqua, people like those who come forward with prizes for the photography competition. If we didn't have people like that, you know, sort of actually putting their money where their mouth is, almost, you know, so to speak, then we wouldn't be able to do this. And the volunteers that are just, you know, happy to stand outside the exhibition centres, the exhibition halls, and give advice to people saying, you can go there if you're looking for that, it's over there, this is what's happening here, counting how many people are in and out and everything else, so we know what's going on and we know that we've got people. If it wasn't for those volunteers, again, we wouldn't be able to do this.
So please, we would ask everyone to support Muse Boutique and the Port Bar and all our local independent businesses, because they are what make our town centre special and unique.
They really are. Can I also say thank you to Boat Folk and the bars that are putting on the our local bands. We've got so many musicians as well stepping forward to play over the weekend. As Jeff mentioned, we've got, you know, sort of pretty much the whole weekend. Saturday in particular, at H&W, or rather outside H&W, Boat Folk have been instrumental in helping us to actually put on a stage, music outside there.
What have we got that's new this year that we haven't done before? Well, I've already said that we've expanded the visual arts to 50 artists. We've got a music performance competition, which we've got something like 40 entrants in various categories who will be playing their instruments. And this is the first time that we've had the opportunity to hear some classical music in our arts festival, as well as other sorts of music as well. We've got literary events for the first time in our programme this year. We've had Clive Burney working with Max Minerva's, our local bookshop, to help us put on some book readings, poetry readings, and a poetry slam. We've got a walk and talk around the Portishead salt marshes.
Yes, we've got Hilary Kingston, who is an amazing artist, but she's also very, very heavily involved with Friends of Portbury Wharf Nature Reserve. She's going to be doing a walk and talk of the salt marshes, explaining to people not just how important they are for our local creatives in terms of the wildlife that's there and such, and just the beautiful views that you get across them, but also how important they are ecologically. I don't know how many people are actually aware, but when I found out, I was quite surprised. Salt marshes are better at carbon capture than woodlands. So when they started during lockdown, when people started creating new paths across them, it was quite worrying in terms of the erosion. So if Hilary can get across to people how important the salt marshes are for the town, that would be amazing. But we're really, really happy to have Hilary involved in that, yeah.
I think it'd be good to mention the children's events that we've got.
In the youth centre, there's going to be circus skills for children, and we're going to have Graffati coming back for the third year. The Graffati workshop will be teaching children just basic skills on producing their names on a board. It's gorgeous. Have a look on the website to see the pictures of what children have already done. We've also got for children multi-story drama at Jubilee Hall. Tickets, it is a free event, but we're asking people to book via ticket source due to the limited numbers available in the hall. We've got Superculture hosting a mark-making event up at Avon Way on the Sunday. And we have, for older adults, we've got Alive Activities hosting a Tea and Try It creative session at Jubilee Hall on Saturday. We've got so many new things. We've got Barry Wilkinson, haven't we? A local filmmaker.
Or videographer, do you call him? And he's going to be presenting a workshop for people who are interested in making their own films. And Barry is he's won international awards, so we're going to get some very good tuition from him.
I forgot to mention the workshop that's being run by Kate and Anna. Beginner's gel printing workshop. On Saturday, they're going to be running it in Beacon Hub, and on Sunday at Benga. They did a workshop last year, it did sell out. So if you want tickets, please check the website for the contact link for that.
So, shall we say when this weekend is?
23rd and 24th of September. www.portisheadartsfestival.org.
We're also on Facebook and also on Instagram. The full programme schedule of the weekend will be there soon on our website. We're just putting the finishing touches to it. And there will be also a printed programme which you will be able to pick up from various shops, cafes and pubs and so on around the town in the week or two before the festival.
Excellent. Nicola, Jeff, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.
And you can read more about the Arts Festival in the September edition of Enjoy Portishead magazine. Now, one of the most iconic shops in the High Street is the Sports Shop. It has been an institution for years and years and years and years. Whether it was going there to get your school uniform, whether it was going there to get your tennis racket, or in my case, going there to get your yoga mat during lockdown because everybody took up some form of yoga. Mark Hill is a man that everybody in Portishead that's ever been in that shop will know and love. And there's been a breakthrough.
There has been a breakthrough. I was shopping in Sainsbury's one Saturday afternoon and Mark came up behind me, put his hand on my shoulder and said, that magazine you and Tracy Fry do? And I said, yeah. He said, it's a lot about Portishead, isn't it? I said, yeah, it's called Enjoy Portishead. He said, I like it. Next time you do one, come and see me. I'll put an advert in. And he has. And we've got the sports shop story in the current issue of Enjoy Portishead. And Mark has booked up for the next five issues as well. So fair play to him. I take my hat off. That absolutely made my day. I think in 30 years in this business, the only adverts I've ever taken off Mark Hill have been in the carnival programme. because he wanted to show his support for the carnival. So this for us is a real feather in our cap, and yeah, we really appreciate it. And actually, he had lots to say that was really, really interesting. The fact that he supplies Bristol Bears with you know, what they call them, scrum caps or something, and boots, and he's been restringing his own like badminton racket since he was 16, and people come from far and wide for various brands that he stocks. So yeah, very interesting story, surprisingly. But it is.
There you go. And every time I go in, I walk out with something I don't need. He's that good of a salesman. Walked out. Like, I had a winter coat. It was June. but thank you, Mark, anyway. And thanks for the tennis balls. Right. Speaking of the magazine, which we kind of have been, there's some news about the magazine too, Tracy Fry.
Yes, we're monthly, which is really, really exciting. Obviously, Tracy and I started this venture at the request of many local businesses. They just felt that they needed something local to promote them and give them a space. And that's what we did. Originally, we said we would do something quarterly for them. We do a winter or spring, summer and autumn. As soon as the first edition came out, the businesses said that they didn't want to wait 3 months for the next issue. So we said, okay, we'll try bi-monthly. And as soon as we went bi-monthly, the readers started crying out for a monthly magazine. So there you go. September is the first of our monthly editions. So we will be running monthly magazines now for the people of Portishead.
Well, congratulations, giving birth to the first monthly edition. Great work. Fantastic. I know lots of people appreciate it. It is everywhere. Wherever I go, if I'm going to the chiropodist, if I'm going to the doctors, if I'm in a pub, if I'm having a meal, it is everywhere. Yay. Do pick up your copy of Enjoy Portishead magazine.
But it's only everywhere for the first 2 or 3 weeks. Because it is flying out, and that's the problem, is that people are saying to us, well, I know it's been out for a couple of weeks, but I can't find one anywhere. That's the problem. So now we're going monthly, so hopefully you will be able to find it.
And you can read it online.
Yes.
Good. What is coming up? What are you working on for the October edition?
I think one of the things we have to look at is the Portishead Christmas lights and all that goes with it, because we all know that that is a team that works all year round. And the switch on is in November, so the October, they really step it up, and there's a lot of hard work going on. So we'll definitely be exploring that.
Well, I hate to use the C word again, but we are running into the last quarter of the year. And as much as we like to ignore it, it is going to hit us like a freight train. And so anybody like myself that is looking for somewhere to go, somewhere spectacular for Christmas, for their dinners, or take their staff out for a meal, people are starting to book in September. So if I'm already looking for somewhere to go, then other people are looking for somewhere to go. So I think the run-up is going to be October, November, December. We've only got 3 months left, so I think we're going to be doing a lot of run-up to where to shop locally, where to eat locally, and how to support the local community through Christmas.
Great stuff. Are we having a Enjoy Portishead podcast Christmas dinner? That would be Christmas party.
I think that's essential, don't you?
I don't think there'll be much food going down by the looks of Fowler's face.
And I don't think we should record it.
I think we should.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Enjoy Portishead podcast. Thank you very much to all of our guests. Don't forget, you can pick up your copy of the Enjoy Portishead magazine at Sainsbury's, in most of the local shops on the High Street, the library, the leisure centre, and all your favourite salons and surgeries. If you have a story for us, contact Tracy Fowler on editor.enjoypodcast@gmail.com. And if you're interested in sponsoring this podcast or advertising in Enjoy, then contact Tracy Fry on advertising.enjoypodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to hit subscribe on your podcast app right now to make sure you get all future episodes of the podcast downloaded straight to your device. You can find all the details at visitportishead.net. But bye-bye for now, and thank you very much for listening.